So today we're continuing with our series on worship, and it is quite a particular topic I want to talk to you this morning, and you can see the title behind me there. But you know, in the Bible and in our Christian faith, there's a lot of first things first. Have you noticed it says, for example, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and then everything else will be added. So first is the kingdom. And in the same, God's saying to us, if there was a commandment to follow, is love God with all your mind, your soul, etc., and your neighbors as yourself. And that's the first thing, because after that, when he's talking about having or doing good deeds, or even prophesying in church, you know, Paul is saying to us, well, actually, first love. Amen. So the first thing is love. And then ministry. So we can't do ministry first and not love people. Love is first. You see, there's a lot in Christianity, there's a lot of first things first. And I would suggest that worship, as the activity of glorifying God, is the first of first. It's the most important thing. If there's a first anywhere, that's what we were born for.
Yes.
The activity of glorifying God. So I'm saying activity because we know now that it's not just about singing. It's our whole life to glorify Him. Okay. So this is the absolute first of first. I would say it's for us personally, but it's for the church too. Okay. Few years back, John Piper, quite a famous American theologian, wrote a great book. I recommend it. It's called Let the Nations Be Glad. And the opener of the book is this statement: missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship does not. Can I repeat that? Mission is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Mission exists because worship does not. Okay? So I'm going to unpack that a little bit. By the way, he was not saying that so we don't do mission, because his church is full on mission. So it is not an excuse for not doing mission. But what he meant is, worship is the first of first. It's the foundation. It's a little bit controversial, I think, because church often get in the pattern of, we must do this, we must do that, we need to have a ministry for the poor, and we need to do X, Y, Z, evangelization, program. Okay. But everything needs to flow out of the foundation of worship. Even in our personal lives, our decision, our choices need to come out of a desire to love Him and glorify Him. Amen. That's the foundation, that's the first thing first.
Amen.
Really important.
Amen.
And you know, we're living, I don't know if you're aware, but we're living with this massive prophetic promise that you can read for yourself in Habakkuk 2, verse 14, which states that one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water cover the sea. What a verse, you know? The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water cover the sea. Okay? So God's heart is that His glory will be known to man, all tribe, all nation, yes, that they will come to know His glory, that they will become worshippers in spirit and truth. We've seen that in other part of the series. Now we look around and we're thinking, oh yeah, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord has not yet filled the earth. The Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord has not yet filled all the nation of the earth. So it is because there are places where worship does not exist that mission is necessary. Can you see it? And not the other way around. Yeah. So first, worship. Worship of God is an end in itself, because Jesus is an end in itself. God is an end in itself. So what is looking again, the end, the goal, is worshippers in spirit and truth. Think about that. When Jesus is going to return, there won't be any missions anymore. There won't be, because suddenly the groom will be here. We will be looking at him face to face. We will, our response will be to adore him. We will worship him. We will celebrate. Amen. Worship him. Enjoy his presence. Amen. Like never before. So missions will disappear, but worship won't. Worship will continue forever and ever and ever and ever. As we've seen as well in other part of the series, when we looked at Revelation 4, you know. So missions only exist because we are yet to see every tribe, every nation acknowledging the glory of the Lord and worship him. That's the core of it. Amen. Now, we shouldn't neglect missions. We shouldn't neglect missions by all means. Okay, let me just change my slide to see if it works. Jamie will change my slide. Okay, so of course we should not neglect missions because we are in this place where the knowledge of the Lord has not been reached all the end. So that's why there is mission. And actually, Jesus left us with the great commission of making disciples. Now, what is interesting is, what does it mean to make disciples? What does it mean to make true follower of Jesus? What does it mean? Well, it means having people who worshiping in spirit and truth. Having people who abide and surrender their life to God. Having people who basically shine his glory, so the knowledge of this glory will be filling the earth eventually, because we have all these disciples who are truly reflecting the glory of God.
Amen.
You see, transformation of the believers happen when we see him face to face. That's what happened. So, for example, you have a verse, and I can say that, and I know it's true, because 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, "And we all, who with unveiled face contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So when we see him face to face, when we look at his glory, and that happened in the worship, when that happened, when we connect with him in worship, in glorifying him, we're getting transformed. We're getting transformed to his image.
Amen.
So missions as bringing the gospel to people is not a message about, let's make sure the people are not going to hell. This is very important. It will affect how we're going to approach the people. Because if we think, okay, I'm going to preach the gospel and all I'm looking is for a hand to come up, that's it, brother, you are saved in the name of Jesus, amen. That's not enough. I would say that's the beginning of the decision. We still need to see the evidence of the new birth by the Spirit of God. You see what I'm saying? Because we have will. We can say yes, no, we can, you know? But mission is not, okay, you got your ticket out of hell. One day I said yes to Jesus. One day. And then I forgot about it. That is not what we're looking for in making disciples of Jesus. Okay? We are not even looking for people to just believe right and not fall into immorality. That's not enough neither. I know it's not enough. Do you know why? Because truly, when you see the encounter of the young ruler in the gospel, he has done everything right. The Bible says he's done everything right. He was believing right. He was behaving right. But when Jesus says, "Can you put me before your money?" He couldn't. Can you see that? He could not make that decision of following God with all his heart. There was a little part of his heart he kept for himself.
Mm.
So I know that mission is not even try to drill people, you need to believe right. You need to, no, they need an encounter
Hallelujah.
With the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
They need an encounter. They need to become worshiper in spirit and true. And you can only be a worshiper in spirit and true when you encounter the living God. There needs to be a rebirthing, something supernatural. We cannot make that happen, by the way. We need God to touch heart, change heart, give new heart. And when they receive a new heart, then they say, oh God, I want to please you. God, show me what is right. Show me how to behave. Show me, transform me. When I'm surrendering to you and I'm worshiping you, God, change my heart so that I'm transformed and I'm more like you and I'm going from glory to glory. Can you see that? Yeah? So my last point is, our love of God, our passion for the glory of his name, our worship becomes the fuel and the reason for the mission. It's the fuel because, you know, this is what keeps us going. But it's as well the reason, it's the whole reason. The glory of God is the whole reason why we're doing mission. It's worship first. Worship first, mission follows. Okay. Now, there is actually few potential problematic things, I would say, if you decide to put mission before worship. There's a couple of wrong things that can happen. Shall I give you a couple?
Mm-hmm.
I've done most of them. Okay, so don't feel bad. Okay, and especially if you go around and another church does that, please don't tell them. Okay, just pray for them. Okay, first one. If you put mission before worship, okay, I would say you could be in danger of, for example, doing things for the wrong motivation. And sometimes the motivation is not necessarily a bad motivation, but it's the wrong motivation. I'm going to give you one. For example, you could do very good work to feel validated in your identity or for recognition. It's not necessarily an evil thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But somehow the motivation is not the glory of God, is that, you know, I'm doing the right thing. I'm a good Christian. I'm look at what I'm doing. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen, I understand that. Because you're not going to understand this reference, but do you know Asterix and Obelix?
Yeah.
You do. So very, very popular in France, you know, because the creator is from Belgium anyway. So, you know, I always say, you know, I'm busy much Obelix. I fell in the magic potion when I was born. So Obelix has got supernatural power, but basically he fell into the magical potion when he was little. I'm a little bit like that. I fell into the magic potion when I was little. So it's drilling to me, church is the most important thing, give your life, serve. So for me, that's not very difficult to serve God in that way, because I have to recognize it's been drilled into me.
Mm.
I've been educated to that, but I've got to pause sometime and say, hold on, are you doing that just because you think it's the right thing and you know, wrong motivation? Or are you really, you know, going after the glory of God? I have to sometime pause and say, hold on, where do you get your kick there? Is it from serving God for his glory, or is it because, you know, you're thinking you're doing the right thing and you're feeling good about doing the right thing? Wrong motivation. Second thing. We could do very good work that is not asked us to do. Because when we're not in tune with him in worship, we won't know his perfect pleasing will. You remember I unpacked Hebrews 12 a few weeks ago, and he was saying, like, if you give yourself as living sacrifice, you will know my pleasing and perfect life. If you have not given yourself as living sacrifice of worship, it's very unlikely you will be able to discern the perfect, pleasing will of God. So you could do really good work, but was it what he asked you to do?
Amen.
That's a question. And then you would say, oh, where's the fruit? or you know, will get impatient because maybe you're not in the lane that he asks you to do. So that's another thing. Okay, another thing can happen is you do what he's asked you to do. You are in the will of the Father. You do it well, but somehow you're not completely connected to him, and you end up doing work in your own strength.
Yeah.
That's another thing that can happen. Like you're doing nothing wrong, but somehow along the way you forgot that he needs to carry the burden. He needs to be the one who is the fuel in that, and not you muttering things in your own strength and your own abilities. And the other thing is, if we do mission first and not worship first, I think we could end up, and I think it's happening quite a lot, unfortunately, we could end up representing God very badly because actually we don't really know the heart of God. And that happens all over the earth sometimes. You know, some people say, oh, they're Christian and they do all sorts of things. I'm thinking, okay. I know everybody has a partial revelation of God, but here I think you're missing the heart of God.
Amen.
You're missing the heart of God, or you're missing really what he's saying to his people on earth right now. So I think, for example, compassion, mercy, understanding his grace, you won't understand that unless you're really connected to God and you have a heart, a soft heart for him, and you want to do what glorifies him. Does it make sense?
Amen.
Yeah. So, you know, some 2 verse 8, he says, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession.
Amen.
And I think we are called to bring the gospel all around us, okay? But it's supposed to be good news. It's supposed to be good news. And it's supposed to be, look, you have this opportunity to connect to the Father, to be reconciled through Jesus Christ, to be reconciled to the Father. And you have this opportunity now being glorifying him with your lives.
Mm.
It's what we're looking for, worshippers, for worshippers in spirit and truth. So, how does it look like when God comes to town? When the knowledge of the glory of the Lord comes to town? How does it really look like? I just would like to finish by looking at a classic, okay? Could you put my next? Thank you. Isaiah 61.
Amen.
Okay. I mean, if you've never read it, please, go for it. Because this changed my life, by the way. Age 15, 16, this changed my life. I weeped for weeks. There is such a thing in Isaiah 61. Well, this is what it looks like when God comes to town. If it looks like something different, that's probably not God, just to let you know. Because this is very clear. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim
good news to the poor.
Thank you. Good news to the poor. Second, he has sent me to
bind
the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captive, and release from darkness the prisoners. Okay? Freedom from hurt, from sin, from any kind of addiction, from orbital sin, anything is coming. And if you're brokenhearted, then there's hope. Then the next thing, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Our God is a just God. So if we turn to him, there will be favor, and he will be dealing with our enemies himself. Okay? Then to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, instead of death, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. And wait for it. They will be called oaks of righteousness,
Amen.
A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Can you see when the gospel comes, it's about restoration, it's about comfort, it's about hope, it's about joy. It is about receiving a new identity And it's symbolized here with the garment of praise. You have a new cloak there. You are completely surrounded by a new thing here. It's a new identity, and the produce of that is that you display the splendor of God. How powerful it is. I think the garment of praise is very important here, and I would just want to pick on that one particularly. Right, if you go to Tesco or any big supermarket now and you look around, how would you be able to recognize maybe a person who is a policeman or a person who is a judge? Or how would you able to recognize in the shopping situation who is a policeman, who is a
uniform?
Yeah, you wouldn't unless they have their
uniform. Absolutely.
Thank you. You wouldn't unless they have the uniform. How are you supposed to recognize who is working in Tesco or not? Because you need to know where is the hot dogs. Well, yes, you will look for the badge,
Amen.
Some kind of identity.
Amen.
So basically the uniform is kind of telling you, you know, either the responsibility of a person or their sphere of authority.
Mm.
Yeah? And I think for the Christian it's the same. How do you know that a person is born again Christian? How do you know? Somebody said it.
By the way of their life.
By the way of their lives? Let's be more precise. Are they displaying the glory of God?
Amen.
And one of them is a garment of praise.
Amen.
One of them. Because it says they will be called oak of righteousness. So they will do all sorts of things that are really good actions, for sure. Okay? But there would be a planting of the Lord for the display of his glory. So they are the display of his glory. So how do you know a person is born again Christian? Because they display the glory of God. And one of these is they will have a garment of praise. So they would be really like, whoa, you know what? This and this, but God, and you know, this is really important. We are the display for his glory. We are actually, and that's what I said just before, we're reflecting him more and more. We're reflecting him more and more.
Mm.
That's what's happening when we are worshippers in spirit and truth.
Mm.
Okay. Actually, in verse 10, you have a little bit more about this garment. It says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me.
Mm.
Here is the garment of salvation. And he gave me a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom adorned his head like a priest. Again, you have the priest, which is about worshipping, and a bride adorns herself with the jewels. Again, it's like a kind of a display of what's going on. Okay, I love that. It is so clear in that. Now, what is interesting as well is if you read the chapter, you know, it's probably a 10-week study if we want to do this chapter justice, but read it at home. But if you read the rest of the chapter, it's very clear that out of, you know, there's good news and we are free in God and we're getting comfort and we're getting joy. Out of that, there's action coming. Again, mission will be there. You know, later on in the chapter they said that they basically, they rebuild the city. It says, oh, out of that they rebuild the city. And there was God's evidence of faithfulness, and there was blessing from generation and generation. So, you know, clearly the people who had been regenerated then gone on and did good work. But first, garment of praise, right? And garment of salvation. Okay, what's interesting as well in this passage is how it finishes. Because it says, for as the soil, it's there, isn't it? Yes, thank you, Jimmy. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nation. And righteousness and praise, righteousness and praise, salvation and worship, salvation and worship. Can you see? It ends with worship. Again, the God's plan for humanity is right there in that chapter.
Amen.
From the beginning to the end. Righteousness and praise, we spring up, that's the end game. That's the end game. God wants to restore humanity so we would have a right standing, you know, in front of him for his glory.
Hallelujah.
For his glory.
Hallelujah.
For his glory. It's the purpose of Jesus giving his life that we will be made righteous, reconnected to the Father as a worshiper in spirit and truth. So mission exists so that worship will spring out throughout the nation. The essence of mission is Isaiah 61. That's how it looks like. You know what is incredible is when you remember Jesus, okay? What is the first time Jesus spoke? When was the first time that Jesus actually spoke publicly? Do you remember that? When he went to the temple, age 12. What did he read in the temple, age 12? Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He is the one who embodies that. He read Isaiah. He read Isaiah 61. The Spirit is on the Lord. That's what he read. Okay? So he said it and he embodied him. He was here. The good news had come. The good news had come. The Spirit of the Lord had come. The kingdom was at hand. That's what the gospel is about. Okay. And now, what it is we are the one who are displaying his glory. And we are the one who are bringing the knowledge of his glory. So we can actually take this chapter and say, yeah, with the Spirit of God in me, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news. Because that's what the Great Commission is. Can you see how it fits? What I love about it, though, and this is actually, you know, you could go away thinking, oh my gosh, this is a burden. Okay? But it's not supposed to be a burden, because it's always empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, and what I love in the chapter is the inevitability of it. Because if you read it, okay, it says, for us, there's a, you say an analogy there, or as the soul makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord. Okay? So basically, what it means there is if you planted seed in the garden, it will grow. In the right condition, it will grow.
Amen.
As for sure than that, the Lord is making righteousness and praise spring out in front of the nations. So, to finish, what is our part? What is God's part? What is our part? What is God's part? The Lord will, it's the Lord that saves.
Amen.
You cannot save anyone. It's the Lord that saves. If it's the Lord that makes worshippers in spirit and truth, because you need a new birth for that. I mean, as far as I check, nobody can do that. Can you do it, Ash? No one can, right? No one can. We cannot make born again Christian. What we can do is pray the seed. We can throw the seed of the knowledge of God. We can be the good news. We can do the thing of, you know, the good work in that sense. That's why mission is still important. Because we need to reflect the glory of the Lord. Okay? So we've got this, if I go back to what we just said earlier on, we have these prophetic promises that the earth will be filled with the knowledge. It doesn't say glory. It's a knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Okay? And then we know that we are the one who are displaying the glory of the Lord. So all we have to do is press seed and say, oh, don't you know? Oh, okay, oh, give the info as much as you can. Okay, when it's appropriate. Love people well. You know, worship first.
Amen.
Worship first. With love. Love
Amen.
First.
Amen.
You know? Not out of, oh, you terrible sinner, look at disgusting you are. You need God. As far as I know, Jesus didn't say that. But love them well.
Amen.
And then you say, oh, I really feel it. I say, well, maybe you need to consider a God who can set you free of that.
Amen.
Maybe you know you don't have to stay like that. You know there's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know? Spread the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Love them well.
Mm-hmm.
Be the display. Say, Lulu, and as well, use your own testimony. Because, you know, it's not hard to give lesson to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to give lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much more authentic to say, yeah, one day I was close to despair.
Amen.
This was my situation.
Amen.
And let me tell you what God did for me.
Amen.
Let be the display. Tell them, I was heartbroken. God came. I was into this or this. And he came.
Amen.
And he delivered me.
Amen.
That's how you are, the display of the Lord. You are becoming the display. So we do our little part. We wear our garment of praise.
Hallelujah.
We wear our garment of praise. We spray our seed as much as we want. But we stay connected to God.
Yes.
You know, we stay connected to God. We say, Holy Spirit, show me. At this Christmas, show me God. Is there someone? You know, let's be concrete. Is there someone we could invite, for example, for Christmas and say, they need to hear that Jesus is the light in the darkness. That's the thing. They need to really say, oh, do you know what? I found this light. Would you like to know about it?
Yes.
Yeah? So, worship, to finish, worship is the ultimate goal. Ultimate goal. Mission exists because worship does not. And one day, missions will cease. But worship will go on and on and on and on forever. How amazing, no?
Amen.
Let's just stay there a little bit. Let's just stay there. Let's open our heart. We don't need to be afraid of silence. Let's open our heart to God. If there's anything that spoke to you this morning, just speak to him. Just speak to him. Just speak to him. Wow. Just speak to him. Open your heart. Father, I pray for myself first. Lord, just we want to be worshiper in spirit and truth. Worshippers that know you, intimately, that know your heart. Father, for speak to us, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us even in the way that it's better to do mission, Lord Jesus. We don't want to do anything out of wrong motivation or sense of dry duty, Lord Jesus, but we want to abide to you, Lord, surrender, Lord, and say, Father, show us what is important for us to do, Lord. Speak to us, Jesus. Speak to us. Help us to make disciples that are worshippers in spirit and truth. We want to display your glory.
Amen.
We want to display your glory in everything we do, Jesus.
Mm.
Yeah, in our behavior, but as well in our values, in our choices, in how we live. Let us be the display of glory that honor you, Jesus.